Happy Sabbath again, dear ones. Welcome to our main church service on this seventh day of March, 2020. Glad to have you with us. Also those listening on the phone or listening to the recording or listening on WLMR radio, glad to have you with us in fellowship as well. Had a very important sermon to get into. And so let's continue in our service. Our opening song is Stand Up for Jesus, Ye Soldiers of the Cross. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call they, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are Christ now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose.
Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there.
Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. These days the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Amen. So when you find yourself faced with having to stand up for Jesus or to remain silent, stand up for him. Confess him before men, and you have the promise that he will confess your name before the Father, and that salvation will be yours. And as we near closer to the end, there's going to be a lot more opportunities to stand up for Jesus, to glorify his name. And may we not allow a single opportunity to do so pass by without standing for him. It's now time for opening prayer, and let us please bow our heads and our knees. Pray. precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this. You didn't allow us to have life 100, 1,000, 4,000 years ago. You allowed us to have life at this very point in time. You see that through our connection with Christ, we can bring precious souls directly to Jesus. You see that we can glorify you more in this particular day and age of wickedness than we could in the past. So it's not by mistake that we have life today. It's by design. It's for a reason. There's a great purpose behind it. And please help us to fulfill your expectations, to indeed fall in love with you and give you all the glory that we possibly can by allowing Jesus to live within us. Help us to stand for you even though we may be alone by doing so, even though we may expose ourselves to the attacks of the enemy, to persecution, even though we may get in trouble with the powers that be. Help us to truly love you more than anything else in this world, including ourselves. Thank you for the grace and strength and the wisdom to do so. Be with all of those who are sick, whether mentally, physically, or spiritually. Be with those who have been injured, that are hurting, that are suffering. And I pray that you will help them to look up to you as their great physician. And thank you for providing them healing as well as grace and strength to endure and not doubt your love. Thank you also that we're a day closer to heaven and to getting off of this wicked world. Please draw us ever nearer to thee and farther away from the devil. We want to stand for you in this great controversy and not deny you. Help us to be faithful in the little things that we may be faithful in the greater things that come. And thank you so much for being here with us. Dear Spirit, please open our understanding as we continue in this subject of Armageddon. Help us to understand it clearly so that we will not be found on the wrong side and lost, but may be found on the correct side and saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is part two in our Bible Spotlight on the subject of Armageddon. What is it? Has it already begun? Is it yet to occur? We're going to continue to find out. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID2041, 2041.htm. And if you look at quote number one from our opening text in Revelation 16, verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And last time we learned that this word Armageddon translates and means a symbolic name. And this is because this name was made up of a combination of two Hebrew words, har, which is number 2022 in Strong's. And this word har means a mountain or range of hills. And the second part of Armageddon is Megiddo, and that was number 4023. And this is a valley in Palestine. So har means a mountain or range of hills, and Megiddo means a valley. So you can see that it's meaning two different things. So it's a symbolic name. And this Palestinian valley of Megiddo is not very big. It's small. And so it cannot possibly contain all the armies of the world battling with each other in that small area. So this again shows us that the word Armageddon is really just a symbol, and it does not represent a literal place where a huge war occurs. Now, we also understood last time that Armageddon is fought between two main forces. On one side is God, Christ, and his clean or righteous followers, and on the other side is the devil, evil spirits, and his unclean or wicked followers. And so this shows us that Armageddon is a symbol describing the great controversy and conflict that has been raging between God and Satan, between truth and error for a long time. But this spiritual battle is going to involve every person on the earth, and each one must decide for themselves who they're going to follow, either Christ and the truth or the devil and error. And the end result will either be eternal life with Christ or eternal destruction with Satan. We also discovered last time that the weapons that the devil uses in this great conflict were things likened to frogs, which came out of the mouth of the dragon, beast, and false prophet. We saw that frogs catch their prey with their quick darting tongues. So then this means that the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet would each use their tongue to speak words that are calculated to catch their unsuspecting prey. Or in other words, they would speak various pleasing and false doctrines which would catch people off guard, which would bind them about and draw them in. And without God's divine power to aid them, once they're caught, very few will ever escape from being destroyed. So all three of these unrighteous entities catch their prey by speaking or teaching various pleasing false doctrines. We then investigated into the dragon and saw that the dragon represents Satan, and the first unclean spirit that comes out of his mouth represented his lying teachings of spiritualism and paganism, especially the immortality of the soul, that you can disobey God's command and still live. And this false doctrine comes forth out of the devil's mouth to deceive all the world. So the dragon represented Satan. We then discovered that the beast represented the Roman Catholic Church, and the second unclean spirit that comes out of her mouth represented her lying and deceptive teachings and dogmas of the Church, especially Sunday sacredness. And these deceptive teachings work to deceive the world, And the Bible says that nearly all the world will wander after the beast. In other words, they will be deceived by these false teachings of Catholicism. But what about the third unclean spirit that comes out of the mouth of the false prophet? What is it? And who is this false prophet? And this is what we'll be investigating into and discovering today. Now, if you look at quote number two, who is this false prophet? Now, a prophet is someone who claims to have received true messages from God and then relays these messages to others. You can find this principle in Numbers 12, verse 6, and Deuteronomy 18, 22. So then a false prophet would be someone who claims to be speaking true messages from God, when in reality they are speaking erroneous messages not from God. And you can find this principle in Jeremiah 14, verse 14. Now, this false prophet cannot be the Roman Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church has always claimed to accept tradition above Bible revelation and the right to change God's commandments. But the various churches of Protestantism have professed to follow the Bible and the Bible alone as the basis of their faith and doctrine. But when one examines their practices, they see that the Protestant churches are following in the footsteps of Rome because they are exalting tradition and human opinion above the truth of God's word. And while they're doing this, they're claiming to be speaking the true messages from God. So they're following in the footsteps of custom and tradition, but they claim to be teaching the truths of God's word. So this then shows them to be a false prophet, speaking forth error and yet claiming that it's messages of truth from God himself. And what deceptive message in particular is issuing out of the mouth of apostate Protestantism? What is this third unclean spirit? The major doctrines of Protestantism claim and teach that the law of God has been nailed to the cross of Christ and is no longer binding upon the Christian because we are saved by faith alone. But the Bible and those who follow the Bible understand that the law of God is the basis of his government. And so it is completely without reason or support in God's word to believe that God has given up his responsibility and authority and has left fallen, sinful human beings free to live without his law. God still exists, and so his law still exists. But apostate Protestantism teaches that God's law has been done away with. But it really doesn't matter whether it's the dragon or the beast or the false prophet that leads you to cast aside God's law or even to reject just one of his commandments, because the result in the end is going to be the same. We're told in James 2, verses 10 through 11. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, or all Ten Commandments, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of breaking all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Now, this inspired scriptural passage shows us that if you do not keep even just one of God's commandments, then you are actually showing contempt for the whole law, not just that one point. And in showing contempt for the law, you're also showing contempt for its author, which is God himself. Your influence and example would lend itself on the side of transgression, and thus lend your influence on the side of the devil, who's the author of sin. So in just breaking one of God's commandments, you're showing yourself to be against God's law, which means you're against God, and you're on the side of the devil, because the devil is the author of sin. And history has proven that whenever the divine precepts of God are set aside, then sin no longer appears sinful, and righteousness no longer appears desirable. So in setting aside God's law, sin no longer appears wrong, and righteousness no longer appears right. So this shows us that the various churches of Protestantism and their claim to be preaching the truths of God, while they teach for doctrines the commandments of men and are casting away God's law, particularly the Sabbath commandment, are this false prophet. And from the mouth of these apostate churches shoots forth the third unclean spirit that goes to work to deceive all the world. Now, if you look at quote number 3, the Bible has shown us that these three unclean spirits will do mighty miracles that work to deceive almost the entire world, and they will gather the people together for this last great battle of Armageddon. And it will be by this threefold and holy union of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, or Satan, Roman Catholicism, and apostate Protestantism, that all the people of the earth will be forced to unite on the platform of error against God and against the truth of the Bible. And any who choose not to follow these errors or to obey the decrees of the apostate church will be subject to annihilation. They will be killed. So all the inhabitants of the earth will be brought to decide for or against God, for his law or against his law, for the truth or against the truth. And every single human being is going to have to make that choice. Now, so far we've learned that the devil declares that you can break God's law and not die. Roman Catholicism declares that you can set aside God's Sabbath day and keep Sunday instead. And apostate Protestantism declares that God's law is no longer to be kept. So you can see that one of the main focal points of this great war of Armageddon is centered upon the law of God, and in particular, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And if you look at quote number 4, in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, we're told about this Sabbath commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, in reading through this commandment, you'll discover that it's the only one out of the Ten Commandments that points directly to God. It shows that God is the lawgiver. It shows that he's the creator. And as such, it reveals our obligation and duty to render obedience to all his commandments. But it's more than this. The Sabbath is the only day out of the week that God has sanctified and made holy. And in keeping this day holy, then God will sanctify and make you holy. So this shows us that the Sabbath is a sign between God and you that he has made you holy and thus has made you one of his children in this wicked world of disobedience. So in keeping the Sabbath holy, God is sanctifying you and making you holy. In Exodus 31, verses 13 to 17. Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So in this great battle of Armageddon, the law of God, and in particular the Sabbath, is going to be the focal point of interest. Those who keep the seventh day Sabbath, as God would have them, reveal themselves to be a child of God, and God will sanctify them and make them holy. Those who break the commandment of God and who go along with the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon and worship on Sunday will not be made holy by God. They will be targeted for destruction. And every single person in this world is going to have to make their decision for God or for the devil. And just like in Daniel's time, there's going to be a man-made image that is raised, just like the golden image upon the plain of Shinar. Let's find that in Daniel chapter 3. And the issue is going to be the same as it was back then. Worshiping and honoring God, or worshiping and honoring man. And just as the music and imposing display worked to secure popular support for Nebuchadnezzar's image in ancient Babylon, so in this final conflict, there's going to be miracles that are worked to try and deceive the people into following modern Babylon. And anciently, when lesser inducements failed, then there was the fiery furnace that was waiting to persuade the conscience to change, to compromise. And in a similar manner today, the commandment-keeping people of God will face the loss of all worldly support and even of their life as the price for their faithfulness to God and keeping his Sabbath law. And only those whose faith is founded upon the sure word of God are going to be able to stand when nearly all the world wanders after the beast. But dear ones, there's hope. Because at the very darkest point in this earth's history, when in the final stages of this battle of Armageddon, it appears that the forces of evil are going to prevail, and God's obedient remnant people will soon seal their testimony with their blood. Yet God will deliver his people, and all the workers of iniquity are going to be destroyed. It was at midnight when God worked to deliver his people. We look at quote number 5. From Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And that's the book of the Lamb, book of life. In Luke 13, verses 25 and 27. When once the master of the house is risen up, he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. If you break God's law, even just in one point, and are unwilling to repent and to keep it, to change, then Christ does not know you. In Isaiah 25, verses 5, 8, and 9, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. He, or Christ, will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In closing, it's for you to determine today which side you will be found on in this great battle of Armageddon between God and Satan, between truth and error. There will be no neutral spectators. Everyone will be found in one of two positions. You will either join with the lawless in making void God's law and thus show yourself to be caught in the lying tongues of the devil or Catholicism or apostate Protestantism, and you will be destroyed as a servant of Satan. Or you will be among those faithful remnant few who live by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You will be among those who keep all of God's commandments, and thus you will gain eternal life as a true servant of the Most High. If you look at quote number 6. From Revelation 22, verses 14 to 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So then, dear ones, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Which is 1 Kings 18:21. So it's time to choose. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, and I pray that you will say the same thing, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. That was Joshua 24, verses 15 to 16. So, dear ones, I hope and pray that your response will be the same as was Joshua's, and that you will show by your obedience to God in keeping his commandments that you are a true servant of the Lord, whom you're waiting for to come and save you, and not a servant of the devil or of the beast, Roman Catholicism, or of the false prophet, apostate Protestantism. Show yourself to be a servant of God and not a servant of man. Stand up for Jesus is my prayer. Our closing song is Sound the Loud Cry. Stand up for Jesus and sound his message of truth. Sound the loud cry, Babylon's demise is nigh. Point her captives high to the Lord. Bring them all out with a mighty shout, standing firm upon God's holy word. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captive of the mighty throng.
Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while God's cause we know must prevail. With the Spirit's might, this earth is filled with light, the end is now in sight. We cannot fail. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us not to fall by thy grace. When the battle's won, Babylon's fall is done. Millions saved to stand before thy face. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throne.
Amen. And dear ones, may we stand for Christ and then go to work. May we indeed spread the message of the loud cry far and wide, calling people out of Babylon directly to Jesus Christ and salvation, calling them away from the devil, away from Catholicism, away from all apostate Protestantism, directly to Christ, that they may have salvation, may receive the grace and the strength needed to keep all of the commandments of God and to glorify God in this world. Stand for him now, and it will become more easier to stand for him in the end. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word of life and for sending this word down to live among us. Thank you also for sending thy spirit to help us to understand this word of life, to see our Savior more clearly and be willing to do and to dare, to stand and to walk in following the truth, keeping his commandments, and follow our Lord of the Sabbath whithersoever he leads us. Thank you also for the grace and the strength to decide to live by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth, every word of God, and not any of the words of men. Thank you for helping us each step of the way, and help us indeed to make our choice to stand for you come what may, or to stand for the devil come what may. Help us to no longer be neutral spectators. Help us to enlist in your army of righteousness. And thank you for allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this. Help us to stand at our post of duty, to sound forth the trumpet in notes of clarity, in uplifting our Savior and glorifying him to the world. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet Jesus when he comes in the clouds of the air and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us." What a precious day that's going to be. Help us to get ourselves ready. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So that's the great day of God Almighty, the Battle of Armageddon. Are there any questions, any thoughts, comments, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? And please go right ahead.
I was thinking about Eve and how she was not even aware of what she was doing. First, she wandered away from her helpmeet, Adam. And then she was blown away by the sight and the sound of what she saw. And she forgot all about what God said about don't go near the tree and don't eat the fruit. But she listened to the devil and she forgot all about God. And then she even for God enough to go to Adam and say, hey, look what I found. She became a worker for the devil at that point. But it's, you know, and Eve was in a place where she was very well protected, but yet the devil was able to sneak in and deceive her. And how easy it is if we don't have our mind connected with God at all times.
Amen. That's very true. And it also reveals that the devil can use any one of us if we're not on our God, on our guard. He can use any one of us to lead others astray. So we really need to be alert. We need to be watching and praying and working for God, waiting for him to come. No time to sleep and no time to be dabbling with the devil's amusements. So very true. Are there any other thoughts? Any other comments? This hymn comes to mind. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word. Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the heavy burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear.
Jesús, no más. Dile palabra ociosa, Jesús, no más, quisiera yo pecar. Jesús, no más, me venza el orgullo. Jesús, no más, inspire el yo me habla.
Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Not I, but Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ, only Christ, here and eternally.
I would like to share a scripture song that, the Lord gave me the melody for it. It's Psalms 96, verses 1 through 6. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. For the Lord made the heavens, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens, honor majesty are before him. Straight and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared among all gods.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear Sister Rose. Are there any other songs? Any other thoughts, comments, testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
So, blessings, everyone. I just like to share a hymn that I may have sung a few times. Here in the last verse on the quote, in the sixth quote of the Armageddon lesson, reminds me of the song Sad to Sing It. This world is full of turmoil, of broken hearts and lives. The day in which we live in is full of sin and strife. Few will stand for honesty, integrity is gone. What God needs are families to stand up for him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live for Jesus and stand upon his word. May we reflect our Savior's love in word and thought and deed to grow more like our Master. O God, for this we plead. We need fathers who are willing to stand for truth and right. Men who kneel before the Lord and pray with all their might. Men who draw their swords and fight when all around give in. Men who heed the call of God and won't give in to sin. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live for Jesus and stand upon his word. May we reflect our Savior's love in word and thought and deed to grow more like our Master. Oh God, for this we plead. Mothers, you are needed too. You have your place to fill, to mold and shape your children's lives to fit God's holy will. Your husbands too, you should lift up in prayer to God above, defer to him and honor him submissively with love. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live for Jesus and stand upon his word. May we reflect our Savior's love in word and thought and deed to grow more like our Master. Oh God, for this we plead. Our children are a treasure. Let's keep their souls in mind and teach and train them for the Lord to be gentle, pure, and kind. Children who at an early age sell out for Jesus Christ. Children who will stand for God, no matter what the price. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live for Jesus and stand upon his word. May we reflect our Savior's love in word and thought and deed to grow more like our Master. O God, for this we plead. Amen.
Amen.
God to sings day uncreated, earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy, as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began.
The Garay family fell out? Oh, forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane. But the sacred fourth commandment is still bloody and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my Son. Holy days, purify, set upon, sanctify, enter in to joy divine in a temple made of time.
Amen. Thank you for that request, dear Brother Garais and Sister Garais. And we heard each verse being sung, but when you got to the chorus, it was like the lag on it was really long until it finally cut you out. But praise God indeed for the Sabbath day that he gave us in love, in sanctification, and in showing us that we are his people and he is our God. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, dear ones, any other songs? Please go right ahead.
John chapter 14 verses 15 to 17 for the theme of our sermon and in the youth study as well. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither know him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. And this hymn that came to mind. We have heard from the bright, the holy land. We have heard and our hearts are glad. For we were a lonely pilgrim band, and weary and worn and sad. They tell us the saints have a dwelling there, no longer are homeless ones. And we know that the goodly land is fair, where life's pure river runs. They say green fields are waiting there that never a blight shall know. And the deserts wild are blooming fair, and the roses of Sharon grow. There are lovely birds in the bowers green. Their songs are blithe and sweet. And their warblings gushing ever new. The angels' harpings greet. We have heard of the palms, the robes, the crowns, and the silvery band in white. Of the city fair with pearly gates, all radiant with light. We have heard of the angels there and saints with their harps of gold, how they sing. Of the mount with the fruitful tree of life, of the leaves that healing bring. The king of the country, he is fair. He's the joy and the light of the place. In his beauty we shall behold him there and bask in his smiling face. We'll be there. We'll be there in a little while. We'll join the pure and the blessed. We'll have the palm, the robe, the crown, and forever be at rest. What a day that will be. And there's been a request for Holy Day Jehovah's Rest. Holy Day Jehovah's Rest, of creation's week the best. Last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First his 6 days' work was done, then the Sabbath day was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and the rest we'd obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest. Thousand have his blood reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hails his presence blessed, till the great Jehovah's rest.
All he the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appears through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad God we hail, its presence bless, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I search and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly, 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we have this presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
When we reach that land of light where sorrows are no more, oh, what a day. When we meet our blessed Savior on that peaceful shore, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day that will be. When my dear Savior I see in those mansions of love, now awaiting above, oh, what a day, oh, glorious day. When we see the holy city with its mansions fair, oh, what a day. When we look upon the glories that await us there, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day that will be. When my dear Savior I see in those mansions of love, now awaiting above, oh, what a day. Oh, glorious day. To behold the faces of our loved ones gone before, oh, what a day. From the Savior's presence to be severed nevermore, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day that will be. When my dear Savior I see in those mansions of love, now awaiting above, oh, what a day, oh, glorious day.
Isaiah 55 verses 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man is tossed. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your waves, and my toss than your toes.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And I'd like to sing Isaiah 61, 1-3. I went ahead and put it there in the room. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. I pray, dear ones, that you will be led ever higher to the rock Christ Jesus, and that there will be no storm or tempest that will ever take you away from his loving arms. Dear ones, go with God and keep looking up, is my prayer.
Talking about high blood pressure, you were the other day, Bob. I think mine's up. I'm going to have to find out how to get it down. Anyway, till then. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Mapache at all. All right. Punched all around.